All right, we're going to take your phone calls, final hour with E.A. Codine, and we are going to be talking about his work as well, Evoking Eternity, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Eric, tell me, how long do you think you'll continue to do this? A long time?
I really don't see an end to it at all when I look at it. I'm not sure that with everything I've experienced and gone through that I could ever just not actively pursue the spiritual and the forbidden knowledge. I've kind of gone a bit too far at this point.
Like practice, do you get perfect the more you do this?
You definitely get better and better at it. You start to learn the different physiological triggers that you need to engage in order to enter into these altered states and how to push those into your environment and cause your environment to shift as well. So, yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Kathy is in Gainesville, Florida. Hey, Kathy, thanks for holding.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to share an experience I had when I was 19 and maybe get some feedback on it.
Sure.
My sister introduced me to a man when I was 19, and he, on two separate occasions, he drugged me, and I saw this, it looked like Thor. It was orange with horns and fangs, but it was a form of a man. It's like he shape-shifted, and the feeling that I got from it was extreme evil. I was in college at the time, and my sister, being 4 years younger than myself, was at home, and he did the same thing to her. And we started talking one day, and I started relating to her this experience. And the next thing I know is she's filling in the rest of the details because she had seen the same thing.
Yeah, that's definitely really, really interesting. We talked just briefly earlier about your astral body of light when you can project yourself and you'll be in this body of light. Well, that body is pretty malleable. You can indeed shift that astral body into any form that you choose, and if you can basically solidify that form to any great degree, that's something that other people will most of the time only subtly be aware of. For instance, if you're feeling in a threatened situation, you can turn your attention into your astral body, and you can enlarge it. You can make yourself look much, much larger than you are in your astral body, and people will instinctively react to that. So you can really shift into any form you want. It seems like perhaps this man had perfected that.
What do you think of voodoo, Eric?
You know, I'm actually an initiated Vodun priest. So, and Vodun would be Haitian voodoo. So before it was brought to the U.S., it was in Haiti. So I've been initiated into that, and it's probably one of the most powerful currents that I've been involved in as far as being able to affect the physical world.
All right, next up, let's go to Seattle, Washington. Sabrina, your turn. Hi, Sabrina.
Hello, George.
Hi.
And I forgot your guest's first name.
Eric, you can call him.
Eric.
Or EA, whatever you want to do.
EA, okay. I'm a witch, and I've been a witch for most of my 50 years of life, and it's actually worked out very well for me. I found out the hard way about using magic in a negative way, because I wound up getting my tail feathers singed on that little episode. What I was doing is that I was using a type of magic called Irisian magic. and Eris is the Greek goddess of chaos. Are you still there?
Mm-hmm. We're listening to you.
Yes. Yeah, and Erisian magic, I'm an Erisian high priestess, and one of the things that I learned about the different types of magic, chaos magic can really be nasty if it's misused. And I misused it once, and I paid for it.
What happened? You want to share that story?
Yes, I will. Well, what I did is that I went ahead and somebody had threatened me in a fashion I didn't like. And so what I did is I cast a spell on his mind with chaos magic, and it made him go completely insane. But it was only for about a week, and then he got better, but I really paid for that. And the way that I paid for that is because is at that point, I mean, I had a coven with 12 witches in it, and half of them left after that. And, you know, that's not good.
No, I guess not. But I again, Eric, would you recommend people not put curses on other people?
You know, I would recommend people not use baneful magic, and not necessarily for the karmic retribution that they might experience, but more because of the inner state that it'll create. I mean, it obviously, you know, it's natural to have angry and even hateful thoughts towards another person. But when you act on that, especially with magic, I mean, if you have angry thoughts towards somebody and you want to do something physically, there are a lot of obstacles to being able to actually do that. You know, legal obstacles, physical obstacles to being able to hurt somebody. With magic, there really aren't those obstacles. It makes it a little too easy to direct that negative energy towards somebody and to cause some serious harm, and the psychological and spiritual consequences of that are going to be pretty severe as far as having to deal with what you've done and how that changes you.
Okay, next up, let's go to New Haven, Connecticut. Anthony, first-time caller, and you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Anthony.
George, Eric, how you doing?
Good.
I'm wondering, just based on my experience, I've never been able to reach the states that you're talking about without the aid of, I would say, like, say, shamanistic herbs, I guess, if you want to call it that. And, I mean, I've been, I would say, into a different dimension and actually spoken to people. And I'm wondering how what you're doing differs from, you know, like what the shamans do.
Well, I've experimented quite a bit with you know, as you say, shamanistic herbs, specifically dimethyltryptamine and the various derivatives of that, and that's it's a completely different experience where I will, through those quote unquote hallucinations, deal with other entities and intelligences and improve myself that way and learn about myself that way, but that's a completely different experience than an evocation. In an evocation, you're calling something in front of you, and you're in a completely sober state of mind. There's no hallucinatory effects. There's no altered perception of things. It's that you're in your room, and everything looks exactly the same. Only there's a spirit standing in front of you. So it's a quite a bit. Less of a surreal experience and a lot more realistic.
All right, let's go to Heather now, Eureka, California. Heather, take it away.
Hi.
Hi.
I am by nature a very curious and intellectual and spiritual person. And throughout my life, I've had some very terrifying and very sickening and very traumatizing brushes with the demonic through no desire and no fault of my own. So I realized pretty early on that I needed to channel my pursuits to understand the spiritual world through light. I studied and practiced paganism. I have training in shamanism and metaphysics. And more recently, I've devoted myself to the mystical paths of Buddhism and the Vedas and Sufism. And, you know, I really have to say that intensive spiritual practice has given me knowledge and understanding and healing and evolution and joy beyond what I even imagined going in. And my studies have also taught me that when you work with an entity, for me, that's things like fairies and tree spirits and spirit guides, there's an exchange of energy. I offer things like my gratitude and songs and Reiki. My questions for you are specifically, what do you offer? Do you engage in blood ritual? And how do you justify things like psychic vampirism, which cause the people who are being fed on to get sick and possibly even die? And why take the dark path when it causes suffering and it causes degradation and it causes bad karma and it causes darkness instead of the light that just brings healing and joy and blessing to all those involved?
Well, yeah, that is an excellent, excellent question. You know, I've mentioned a few times throughout this interview that the matter of balance, that there needs to be balance there. If you do deal with only the demonic and only the malevolent, then yeah, you're going to be extremely unbalanced and to an extreme degree where your connection with reality and your connection with the good potential that you have is definitely going to be diminished. So I do advocate a balance, but balance also means not only working with that which is light and good, because not all of us are completely light and good. Nobody is, and also there are the mysterious things out there that you want to learn. While if you only focus your energy on and your attention on the light aspects of spirituality, you can definitely reap joy and happiness. But there are deeper understandings and deeper knowledge that I think can be gained through that left-hand path that otherwise couldn't. So once again, obviously, if you devote yourself to the darkness, yeah, you're going to be a dark person. You're not going to have that amount of joy and happiness and peace in your life. But I do definitely think that that's something that I want to at least put into my practice enough that I can get into those mysteries and have a greater understanding of things and a deeper understanding of things.
Just on the face of it, I would never ever guess that you dabbled on the dark side, Eric.
Really? Are you being serious?
Yeah. Oh. I mean, just talking to you as a normal person, I would never guess that you would be interested in that end of it.
Yeah, people do have this expectation I've written several books on the subject of black magic and baneful magic and the darkness. And then when people meet me or get to talk to me, they're really taken aback by the fact that I'm not all doom and gloom, because it's not. And if you immerse yourself in that darkness, yeah, you're going to be doom and gloom. You're going to be not a good person to interact with. But that balance is definitely necessary, where you do have to embrace all aspects of yourself, and I think that somebody who embraces only their light and positive side is really, really neglecting a part of themselves just as much as those who only embrace their evil and their darkness.
Let's go to Riverton, Wyoming. Chuck's turn on Coast to Coast. Chuck, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
I had a question for your guest. Several years ago, 20 years ago, I met this woman, and she kept showing up in my path, you know. And finally, we started dating, and I was a young man then. I was in my 40s. Anyway, she was claimed to be a white witch, and she was teaching me to read auras, and which was interesting. I've always been kind of interested in it. My mother was interested in it, and she got me interested way when I was a kid. And so it went further and further, and one night we were practicing this aura reading. We got pretty good at it. And I was supposed to look past her, and she was supposed to look past me and watch each other's aura. And all of a sudden, it was just strange. There was just these large, long blue and red sparks just flew off of her, like in every direction, like she was like laser light in the smoke, you know, kind of that electrical look. And it kind of startled me, so I swung my gaze over to her face. And she had locked her eyes on me just as hard as she could. And all of a sudden, and I swear to God, this is the truth, and it just freaked me out. This purple smoke came out of her eyes and her mouth and kind of came swooping at me like smoke. And I jumped up and broke the thing, whatever was going on. And now that was the end of it for me. That was the end of the relationship. It was just like it was out the door. See ya. You know, and I was wondering if she had singled me out for some reason and what she was trying to pull on me there. I don't know. It just really freaked me out.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure that she was trying to pull anything on you or that she was pursuing you in any malevolent way, but it seems like you had a very, very intimate encounter with the spiritual that you broke through several veils between the physical and the spiritual world, and that was extremely startling. When you look at somebody's aura, the first thing you'll see is basically just a light surrounding that person, and then that light it'll usually start out as kind of a golden color, and then it'll start to take on other colors depending on what's going on with that person, and then as you look even more deeply into it, you will see sparks of light. You'll see little shoot offs of energy coming from that person. You'll see all kinds of phenomenon, and basically that's your spiritual vision opening up at an even deeper level. So it's not necessarily that she was doing anything malevolent towards you. I don't think. I think you just were able to pierce through several veils.
All right, and we're going to pierce through a couple veils ourselves when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with our very special guest, E.A. Coetting, and he's got two books out, Evoking Eternity, and the other one is Ipsissimus. I got it right again. Tough name, but it's a great book. That one comes out in October, and his website linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. We'll be back in a moment with final calls. Here we go. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, first hour, we're going to talk about the secret power of middle children. It's a fascinating story followed by something that affects so many millions of Americans. I'll tell you about that, too, when we get into Coast to Coast AM on our next program. And when we come right back, we'll take some final phone calls with Eric Coetting on Coast to Coast AM. Eric, have you ever gotten into a heated discussion with somebody who might be offended because you are involved with the darker end of this?
Yeah, I definitely. It happens quite a bit when people find out or I let them know what I do for a living and my active pursuits in spirituality, especially extremely religious people, obviously. I tend to shy away from getting into debates on spirituality, though, as it's such a personal experience that arguing it's kind of pointless. I don't really have a set of beliefs. I have a set of experiences and knowledge that I've gained from those experiences. So that's something I'm definitely always open to sharing with people. But to kind of compare, whose experiences trump whose is not something I'm very interested in. So I just avoid that conversation altogether.
Okay, and it doesn't sound like you're out to hurt people.
No, no, and I'm not really out to convert anybody either. You know, I'm not a missionary for the devil. I'm just I've come across some extremely interesting and valuable information that I really like to share with people who are interested in it.
Okay, let's go back to the calls for the final segment. West of the Rockies, Derek is in San Diego. Hi, Derek.
Hi, George. Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Oh, great. Hey, love the show. It's a great subject to talk about. I'm really interested, you know, all the way around in the subject. But I do have something to share with you here. I am a big EVP fan, okay? I probably have about 50 or 60 tapes here on both sides of EVPs. And I've only been collecting these since right after my mother had passed away on Halloween of 04. Now, there were times, of course, when I wanted to contact certain people, and believe it or not, I've had success not only for myself, but for my friends and family. So I do this under the premise of only good, not evil, or anything of the sort, but I always make sure I protect myself and those around me, and then afterwards I do the same thing. But my question is, have you also done EVP sessions during your invoking of the spirits?
I've come up with some really interesting results from doing EVP with that. I was hoping that I would be able to capture the spirit's voice as I heard it on tape, but that's not what would happen. I would have the conversation with the spirit, and then when I played the tape back, rather than hearing that two-way conversation, I instead would hear peripheral noises and words coming out at me, from the other spirits or entities that may have been present. I'm not sure why I didn't capture, why it's never been able to capture the spirit's voice as I'm doing the evocation, though. It's kind of a weird mystery to it. With EVP, though, I've experimented quite a bit with that, and I know of several people who have. And without doing those protections that you mentioned, people get themselves in some really dire circumstances through that. That is definitely opening up a gateway where the spirits realize that you're aware of them, and then they really want more and more attention after that, and they'll go to some pretty severe lengths to get your attention. That's one of those things that's definitely not to be played with, but to be approached responsibly.
San Antonio we go, and it's Jenny's turn on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks.
Good.
Actually, I've never really dabbled that much in the occult, but I've always been kind of, sensitive to things. And, I don't know, for some reason, I used to try to do spirit writing, and one time, you ever see that movie, Evil Dead 2?
Yeah.
Do you remember when his hand starts trying to smack the crud out of him?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had an experience like that, because it was the only thing I could compare it to at the time, where I was doing the spirit writing, and I noticed my hand was just doing like this figure eight pattern. It just kept doing it, and it started getting harder, like it was going to tear the paper. And I did what I usually did, where I say go away or whatever to make it whatever it was go away. And my hand kept doing that thing, and it felt like something was actually like controlling my hand, like that movie. And it kind of freaked me out, and I just kept saying go away now and all this stuff. And finally, you know, I felt my hand was mine again, and it was just like the weirdest experience, because I'd never had anything like that happen, and it just kind of freaked me out, so I've never done that ever again. So I have no idea what it was I found, but by accident, I went to a bookstore, and I turned around, and I saw this book that said something about magical symbols, and I don't know what made me pick it up, but when I picked it up, as soon as I opened it, it fell on this one page, and it said, if you get a figure eight, it's an evil spirit. And I thought, what are the chances I'd find that like a week after that happened? I thought that was really kind of synchronistic, like the guy before.
The first hour, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, that's kind of bizarre. And I've always kind of, I'm not super sensitive, but sometimes I can sense like vibes. And there was someone that came to my workplace, and I got a really bad vibe from him, and I couldn't really figure it out. It was just kind of strange. And there was just something odd about this person. He was a customer, and I just couldn't figure out what it was that bothered me about him. He just kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Do you think he was possessed, Jenny?
Well, he was kind of spacey. And I asked, what was strange about it was that night, I had a dream that someone was in my apartment and they were waiting for me to pay attention to them. And I could hear them and I could feel them. And it was very real, like I was awake. And the whole time I was really, really scared. And I thought, I don't know who this person is. And I don't know what they're doing in my house. And so they were like, I could feel them sitting on the edge of my bed. I could feel them like waiting for me to turn around and like acknowledge them. But I was too afraid, and then when I finally was going to acknowledge them, I woke up for real, and I just immediately got up and just got out of bed and was like, oh, my God. So I went and checked everything, and I knew nobody was there. But when I saw this guy again at work, he was a regular customer, I didn't get that vibe off of him. It was almost like whatever had attached itself to him that I sensed had tried to attach itself to me, and then because I didn't let it, it went away, and that guy was like, not that freaky anymore. I didn't get that vibe off him. It was really bizarre.
Hmm,
and I was wondering if maybe he, your guest, knew anything about that.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I've seen a lot is where spirits will basically cling on to somebody, where for some reason they're attracted to a person, and so they'll cling to that person. And just their presence will affect the way that person behaves and the way they think and their emotions, and that could definitely make somebody seem spacey and out of it. It's not quite possession, but it's just a couple steps away, and the fact that it clanged to the caller here is that. Basically, if you've been sensitive to spiritual things through your life, you are vibrating at a higher rate, or you're exuding a greater spiritual light. So these wandering spirits will definitely be more attracted to you than to just some random person.
Have you ever seen anybody possessed, Eric?
Yes, that's. That's actually a fundamental part of Haitian Vodun is entering into possession. So I've seen people possessed, and I myself have entered into possession several times.
Let's go to Bobby, Atlanta, Georgia, first time caller. Thanks for calling, Bobby.
Hey, George.
Hi.
First time caller, long time listener. I when I get out of the nightclub that I work at, I listen to you on the way home and greatly appreciate the show.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So got a quick story and then a question for your guest. When I was 17, I was starting to learn magic from a friend of mine, and he had been messing around with Ouija boards and dabbling in the occult. And I thought this was great fun, and, you know, I'd get on in the action. And we were hanging out outside of his house, we had this eerie feeling, and then we started hearing all these strange noises, and then we saw these glowing orbs coming out of the woods next to his house at us. And, long story short, lots of craziness, lots of scary noises. And then I looked down at my feet, and I saw the face of this demon look up at me and hiss at me. And no joke, it scared my hair white. I had a shock of white hair for months following that.
Jeez.
The orb phenomenon is really interesting. It's where people have spiritual encounters. A lot of them are are reporting that they'll see orbs of different colors and different sizes that are around them, usually right before they have a materialization of a spirit. And a lot of times in evocation, you'll see that as well, where you before the spirit actually materializes, you'll see either one orb or several orbs of light in the room. It's posited that is possibly the true form of the spirit is in the form of a sphere before it actually takes a form of a body.
Next up, we go to Carrie, truck driving in Iowa. Hey, Carrie, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. My question for EA is, what about the dead calling on the living? Because when I was 15 years old, my grandmother, as she was passing away, made a phone call to me as the machines were being unplugged from her. What's your thoughts about that?
That's actually amazing, there have been I've heard a lot of stories about people who have had similar experiences where they get a phone call from a loved one right at the time of their loved one's death it's probably one of the spookiest things that I've come across is something where somebody's reaching through specifically the telephone wires to make that final contact, and I'm really not sure what to make of that. That seems to be still kind of a mystery to a lot of people as to how that actually can happen.
Almost like the Twilight Zone, EA.
Exactly. That's where we're at.
Let's go to Sacramento, California. Vic's turn. Hey, Vic, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Have you ever tried summoning an angel can going on the brighter side?
Oh, yeah. No, I've definitely evoked angelic beings and more light entities for sure. That's
you don't seem to enjoy that part of it, though, Eric. Do you?
It's not as exciting. It's not as fun and exhilarating.
Dangerous.
Or dangerous, and the danger is part of the fun, part of the eroticism of the whole thing. But it is something where you know, once again, you do have to have that balance. And and so for certain things, a lot of times if I need to help heal somebody or heal myself, angels are going to be a lot better to call on for that than demons, obviously. So everything definitely has its place, and I don't shy away from working with the angelic at all.
Not at all. Chubbuck, Idaho, it's Dane's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Dane.
Yeah, thanks, George, for taking my call. Just to continue on what the last caller said on the positive side of this discussion, you know, I'm reminded of Father Malachi Martin. Of course, he was probably one of the senior exorcists.
Yep.
And he got into this a little bit, and also his agreement, what he thought was more or less in alignment with what the evangelists in the 19th century, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, had to say about the whole thing. That you know, if you see in the spirit world for a few minutes, you know more about it than all the books that have been written on it. But what's your feeling? Don't you think that you know, especially at this time in the history of the world, that really, we need to look at the positive side of this, that one side, the secular humanist side, really is representing those forces which believe in mayhem and all the savagery that's going on in the world. And essentially, don't you feel that perhaps we ought to go back to what Father Malachi Martin used to say, you know, that the Lord had something to say about this in the 16th chapter of Luke, starting with verse 19 to the end of that. And I won't read it. People can if they want to get the Lord's viewpoint on it. But What's your feeling? Don't you think that sometimes if we invite the occult in, that we might be getting ourselves in serious trouble, and we ought to know that we need to invoke the name of the Lord for our protection if these forces move in on us?
Well, I would tend to agree with Dane, EA, in that if you let some of these entities in, you could be asking for trouble. I think you earlier said that that's a very strong possibility.
It most definitely is, and especially when you're working with the demonic. And I get that a lot from people who want to dabble with this, where they ask me, well, how can you safely call on a demon without any recourse? Well, there's no way. It's not possible to safely call on a demon. It's dangerous by its very nature. So that is a danger that you need to take into account. However, I look at the world today, and the caller pointed towards the secular world, and I think that a good deal of the issue isn't necessarily that there's a shift towards the demonic, but more that there's an ignoring of spirituality altogether. That's the issue. With working with evocation, with soul travel, with any of this, you're actively pursuing your knowledge of the spiritual by different means, and definitely by unconventional means. But that is definitely putting you at a greater advantage of what reality really is, and it's definitely not the flesh and substance that we see around us.
Just be careful when you play around with the dark side, EA, because you just never know. The name of his two books, Evoking Eternity and Ipsissimus. I'm not even going to spell it for you. Just go to his website. You'll find out. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasore, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.